Okay. All right, take two.
Okay.
here are we are at If Your Beat Will podcast. I did record Jad Fair and I didn't do it properly, and his heart is so massive that he came and joined me again today. So Jad, thanks so much for hopping on here again. I mean, I guess that conversation we had will just forever be between you and I, but I will definitely will touch on similar themes that we did leading up to this one that's getting recorded.
Okay, all very good.
Excellent. So, Jed, I always like to start these off with a little bit about your background story as when music started happening in your life, and your brother David, who you started. Half Japanese with. Like, what were you, how did you guys come to form Half Japanese? Like, what was the momentum that got that band started?
Well, David and I were both going to the same college, Grand Valley State College, which is in Allendale, Michigan, just outside of Grand Rapids. And we were renting a house together, along with another friend of ours, David Stansky. And that house was so remote that we could play music any time of the day, whenever. Yeah, we felt like playing music, which was something we made full advantage of. I had a drum set and a saxophone, and that's mainly what I was playing back then. And then David Stansky was playing guitar. And
What was your
yeah.
brother playing? Like, what was your brother's?
Well, David was also playing drums at times, and doing vocals. And then later on, it was just David and me, my brother David. And at that time, anytime David would play guitar, I'd play drums. And whenever I played a guitar, David would play drums. So we, switched back and forth.
Right. And like, what would happen? Like, how would you guys make your way into the jam room? Would it be like, hey, brother, come, I have a cool idea, or you're just in there and David comes in, or vice versa? Like, how did those early kind of jam sessions, these in this remote place,
Well,
happen?
it, in the beginning, we were staying at my parents' home, and we had a room there that we could play music in. And we really had no money at that time, so it was all recorded just on a cassette recorder. We would have one microphone for the music and one mic for the vocal.
And what was the recording for? Like, what were you guys doing when you were recording? Like, what were you hoping to do with those cassettes that you were, putting sounds and ideas down on?
Well, I was sending it around to friends and to other musicians that I liked. I was a big fan of the Los Angeles Free Music Society and the residents and R. Stevie Moore. There were very few people that were doing releasing their own music at that time, and I kind of gravitated to those people.
And how would you describe your music back then? Like, what was the idea that Half Japanese was gonna do? Like, what was your driving force behind it? And like, kind of what style were you guys connecting it to?
Well, I think the main thing is just to be yourself, and we try to be as natural as we felt we would be. And so many musicians start out wanting to sound like someone else. A guitarist will start thinking, well, they want to sound like Jimi Hendrix or whoever. But I've always just wanted to sound like me, which you would think, sounding like yourself is the easiest thing in the world, but very few musicians do that.
Right. And how did you guys stumble upon your sound? Was it sounding the way you wanted it to sound right from the get-go because it was coming from yourself?
Oh
Or
yeah,
did you guys, yeah.
it always sounded like how we wanted it to sound. Because I've read some people say, well, these are people that couldn't play their instruments, and they were trying to do something else and just could not do something else. But that's not the case at all. We were aiming for the sound that we got. I certainly would be capable of playing a standard, but it just that's just not what I do.
Right. No, it's quite fascinating. I there's that great quote that you have in that mini documentary that you guys had where you don't need a cord. You do need a cord to plug your guitar in, but that's about pretty much it, which I think encapsulates really well that early half Japanese kind of going with what you felt and the feelings were coming through. And was everybody comfortable with that right from the get-go? All the other musicians that came in and joined Half Japanese, were they given direction, or again was it always we want you to play as we play with our heart and our feelings and just play the way you feel you want
Oh
to play?
yeah, when we had other people join the band, they certainly were aware of what David and I sounded like, and they were fans of that. So they certainly didn't try to change us, and we didn't try to ch change them. And it just well, it starts with a friendship, I think, in most cases. We were friends with people, and they came in, and it had a very friendly feel to it.
Right. Did all of your collaborators and bands that you'd play with, was it always based on a friendship? Like, was the friendship there before you started playing music? Or did sometimes it would be a partnership and then friendship would form? Can you talk a little bit about like how those relationships were when you were playing music with so many different people?
Almost always started with a friendship. Sometimes it would be that we would have a show at a venue, and we just really hit it off with the whatever other band was there. That was kind of the case with boy, with Yellow Tango, Sonic Youth. So many different bands,
So
Daniel,
yeah.
the Pastels, Teenage Fan Club, Mo
Absolutely.
Tucker. Yeah.
Yeah. So many amazing collaborations. I want to just ask one last question about kind of that early start of Half Japanese. What would a Half Japanese show be like? And how did in the earlier days, like a couple albums in, like what was the stage show like, and what were people's reaction to the live performance of Half Japanese in those early times that you were starting to play?
Well, we always got a great audience response. Looking back at it, I mean, at the time, I thought, we just sound normal, which
Right.
probably wasn't what most people seeing us would have thought. But I mean, to me, some people say, experimental, but it's kind of, it's the opposite of that. It's just being ourselves, and doing what comes natural, is not experimental. It's just everything falling into place.
Well said. Well said. So what was the first kind of big moment for Half Japanese in its history? Like, when did recognition start to spark and there was more awareness that kind of led into your first, you know, perhaps record deal or, you know, big show? Like, what were those first big occasions?
Well, I sent a copy of our first EP, Calling All Girls, to John Peel, who had his radio show on the BBC, which was, you know, massive. And he was a fan of Half Japanese. And I think, you know, John Peel really gave us our first big push. And I'm grateful for that.
Cool. And Jed, after he started playing Half Japanese, did you then do a record deal that was like more elevated, or did you kind of stay DIY most of Half Japanese's existence?
Well, there was at that time I was also sending cassette tapes around to different people, and a company in London, London-based company, Armageddon Records, contacted me and said that they would like to do a record deal with us. And for the first release, they would like to have it be a 3-LP set, which, boy, really sounded great to David and me. I mean, for our very first record deal, having being a box set is something it really is amazing.
Yeah, at that time too, right? Because
there
wasn't all that much in the. I mean, what was that in the '80s, like early '80s? That
it was. So it was pretty much Frank Sinatra and us.
Very good. So I want to dive a little bit deeper into the collaborations, because you've just had so many that, wow, like, how does a collaboration, you said it started with a friendship usually, right? And you would meet all of these collaborators, some of them you had mentioned, just through them, you opening for them or them opening for you. And then, like, where would the connection come to, let's make a record together? Where would those kinds of conversations start for you with collaborators that you worked with?
Right. Well, you know, sometimes I would start corresponding with them, and which was with Daniel Johnston, and also with Mo Tucker. Before I actually met them in person, I you know, was such a big fan of their work that I would send cassette tapes and records to them. And it was, you know, that kind of led to a friendship. It just everything just kind of flows. It has a real natural flow to it.
Right. And when you collaborate, what does each of the people bring into it? Like, do you write half the songs, they'll write half the songs, or they'll write the music, you'll do the lyrics? How do those collaborations usually work musically?
Oh, it's different with each different band.
Okay.
With Teenage Fan Club, they did all the music, and I had no say in the music. Well, I didn't want to have any say in the music, because, you know, they're Teenage Fan Club. Yeah, they know what they're doing. So on that, my job was doing the vocals and coming up with the lyrics. With the records I did with Daniel Johnston, we would work on music together and work on lyrics together.
Kind of like, you know, collaboratively?
Yeah, well, for the most part. I mean, Dan and I did some cover songs And also, Dan came in with some lyrics all written out ahead of time.
Right.
So, some of it was working on the lyrics together and some not.
Fun. And are all of those encounters, do they always go as you expect, or are they always surprising what the outcome is?
Well, I would think for the most part they come out like I would imagine them that they would, because most of the musicians that I play with, I choose to play with them because I like what they do. So no, I wouldn't say there's any big surprises there.
Right. And your collaborations with Kramer, he's produced some of the most my favorite albums. What was that collaboration like in particular? How did that happen? Were you guys corresponding, or did you have a chance encounter? Like, how did that relationship start that led to the record you guys put out together?
When Kramer invited me to have Half Japanese record at his studio, in which sounded good to me because I was a big fan of Shockabilly, so
Right.
I knew of Kramer from that band, and also. He told me a bit about his recording studio in New York, and it all just really sounded like a real opportunity for us, and it was. I was very pleased with his work.
Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful work that you guys did together. What's the mystique behind his recording in his studio? And I've read a few articles about it, but from your point of view, like what was so intriguing or like such an honor, I would assume to be writing songs and recording in this famed studio of his that he's recorded so many amazing records in.
Well, part of it for me was that he was in New York City, which is such a huge city, and I've lived most of my life in small towns or a rural setting, so I do spend some time in cities, but most of my life has been in tiny, tiny towns.
So going to the city and recording. How long did that record that you guys did together take to record? Do you remember the how long
Oh,
that process was?
it was done very fast.
Right. I imagine too, though, Jed, most of your, I mean, just the amount of songs. I mean, I can't even attempt to count the records or the songs that you've penned throughout your career. With that sheer amount, what is your process to songwriting?
Well, so much of it just comes to me very fast, and I like it to be that way. I think, hopefully, lyrics can be kind of like talking, which, when I talk, certainly there's some type of mental force behind it. But it's not like I labor every word. It just it's kind of like a like if a bird is doing a song, a bird just does what comes natural, and that's what I want to do. I want it to just come out and be as natural as I can. And boy, I've written so many songs. I bet it's over 2,000, easily over 2,000.
Easily, easily,
Yeah.
yeah. And some, I mean, epic canon songs that just they'll always be there for us.
Oh, well, thank
It's
you.
really quite amazing. So we're heading into March 2024, and you're about to release two. I mean, I'm going to call them epic because they're epic records. One with 100 songs called 100 Songs, and then Film Songs, which has 150 songs. And how do you approach a project that size? Like, do you frame it out first, or is it gatherings of things that you've kind of have in your filing cabinet that you kind of pull out? Or have all those 100, 150 songs been something that have just happened within the last, while?
Well, a couple of years ago, I set a goal for myself to release 100 albums in a year's time, and I surpassed that. I released, I think, 150 or 160 LPs. That, or I shouldn't say LPs because it was on Bandcamp, but it was still albums, though. Most of the recordings that are on the 100 songs and music for films are from those from that year.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah, and there's it's the biggest Bandcamp page I've ever seen, Judd. It's just
Oh,
like
okay.
Danger Man and On the Go, and it's them, and Yes, You Are. Like, and these are full records, all within 2021 they were released.
Oh, yeah.
And is this, these are all just you performing them from start to finish, producing it, artwork, it's all you.
Well, during that year, with COVID, I just wasn't going out. The only place I would go would be the grocery store, like once a week. Other than that, I was at home. But being at home, I wanted to make the most of it. And I think I did.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I read that these are all Bandcamp, not Bandcamp, sorry. GarageBand is where the platform that you started to use to kind of assemble these songs.
That's right. That's right.
Nice.
Yeah, it was
And
all just, done on my computer.
right. And you're, I don't know if it's I've noticed this though, but a lot of those records you're using your voice also as an instrument. You're using that melody with your voice kind of in tandem with some of the instrumentation that's on there.
Well, in for a lot of the songs, not all of them, but a lot of them, it would start with a vocal track, me just kind of dum da dum da dum dum do do, doing some type of vocal loop, and then I would instruments on top of that, and use that for kind of a guide for me.
And what's the theme of supernatural and monsters often appear in your songs. Where does that interest come from, Jed?
Well, when I was young, monster movies were my favorite movies. I was a big fan of all the classic ones, Frankenstein, The Mummy, Dracula, Creature from the Black Lagoon, The Blob, all those cats. So that's kind of stayed with me. I'm still a fan of monster movies. I'm not such a fan of, well, not a fan of at all about the slasher things, which
Much, much more
Daniel
monsters.
Johnston was, Dan Daniel was wanting me to do another album with me. He said it should be all slasher movies. We can call ourselves the Blood Brothers, and I told him, well, no. Just no.
Not happening. That's a good story. So, Jed, where you've created music for so long, and you've met and heard so much music. How do you find music has evolved over time? Like, does it bring optimism to you when you hear music nowadays, as with that kind of all that time and history in your mind? Like, do you think music's headed in a direction that is exciting and vivid and maybe a bit different, evolving still over time?
Right. Well, I think there's always people that are playing some great music. And also at that same time period, there's people that are playing things that just don't have any appeal to me. And quite often what's on the radio, what's most popular, just doesn't really strike any chord with me. So you kind of have to search things out, but there's always some very fine things going on.
Absolutely. Is there any like records that have come out recently that have kind of caught your ear and that you've appreciated over the last handful of years?
Boy, well, so many of my favorite bands have been bands for years and years. I mean, NRBQ is a band I love. Yellow Tango is such a fine band. And
Absolutely.
I think of Danielson and Deerhoof. There's oh, and Teenage Fan Club are still making excellent music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you think we're in good hands as
Oh yeah.
Right on. I love that. Yeah, radio has always been kind of just seems so uninspired. But then listening to your music and some of the artists that you've collaborated with, I know there's going to be a lot of hope. And I think many artists nowadays too have been influenced by Half Japanese and Jad Fair. I mean, they can't not be. So I think that you're leaving your essence in a lot of these records and bands that are coming out nowadays, which must be kind of interesting to hear where you're like, yeah, that's a technique we used to do back in.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's cool. So just to kind of wrap things up here, Jad, again, thanks so much for joining. This is some of your stories have been well, they've all been just super. What can we look forward to? You mentioned as we were hopping on that you were making videos. So you have these two records coming out in March. So what does the rest of 2024 look like for Jed Fair?
Well, Half Japanese, we're working on a new album. So I've been just working on lyrics right now, but once I'm finished with the videos, I'm doing for my solo records, then I'm going to move on to recording my vocal for all the Half Japanese songs, which are the, boy, there's so many of them. So those are the main things. Oh, and I'm also going to be recording with well, with Samuel Locke Ward, and I have a new album that we're going to
Yes.
be releasing,
Okay.
which
Yeah,
I'm very
Destroy All
proud
the
of.
Monsters, such a great record. But was that the first time you two had worked together, with
No,
Sam?
that was the second album.
Okay. But yeah, it just came out last year in September.
Yeah.
Again, so beautiful. I love your voice over these really melodic, like Teenage Fan Club and Samuel Ward. Like, it just is like a match made in heaven. One other thing, Jed, how do you make a video? Like, what are these videos? Like, what could somebody expect to see in a Jed Fair video that you're making?
Well, for the most part, I usually will do a drawing and then make some little change on it, so it'll be an animation, a very simple animation,
Nice.
and it's almost always my artwork, so
Nice.
either drawings or paper cuttings.
Nice. And we didn't even talk about your art, which is absolutely fantastic, but you can see Jed's art on almost every record cover art that he has, because you do most of your cover art as well, right?
Yeah, well, I do it, or my brother, David does it.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Jed, thanks again. A real treat. Thanks for giving me some of your time, and I wish you all the best with these two new records. They're really epic and amazing. And it's just great to see you having fun and being yourself, in the music that you've been making all these years. So congratulations on that.
Oh, well, thank you. And getting back to the record covers, I want to mention that we had an album cover by Gary Panter, which is one of my favorite artists, and also one by Gary Taxley. You know, some of the finest illustrators around, and I was so pleased that they would be willing to do artwork for half Japanese.
What record could you give it, one of the records that where they did the cover it? Do you know that off the top of your head, Jet?
I have really so many albums, you know, knowing titles. But if you look at the look up the last two half Japanese albums, and
Okay, cool. Yeah, awesome. Really cool. Well, thank you again. And please keep doing this, and we'll be following all the way.
okay. Well, very good, Chris.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Into the right we did flew. Knew for sure that we did knew. Knew for sure that it would grow and grew. And it did. And it did. Here we are. Diamonds and rubies in the suitcase. Everything now is right in place. Super fine. Here we are. Here we are. Embrace the will not break. Our life can be like chocolate cake. Keep the take and take the take. Here we are.